Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Wonderful things are awaiting us in the name of Jesus. You know, the Lord says, the scripture says in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5, I believe, that behold, I do a new thing. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Praise the Lord. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Praise the Lord. Somebody say in our days. He's talking about us. Praise the Lord. But he's not talking about us when he says we will not believe. Because we will believe. Glory to God. Now the Lord is telling us something special here today, which I want every one of you to completely get and comprehend and understand and appreciate. Amen. And know and apply to everything that pertains to your life. And that is in Psalms 125 verse 3. It says, for the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Now, of course, we know a scepter is a symbol of authority. It actually is a stick, just a stick, but a stick which kings used as a symbol of the authority. And you read about it a lot in the scriptures. Actually, the Psalms say the scepter of the Lord, your scepter is a scepter of righteousness, and saying your kingdom is established on righteousness. So it's a symbol of dominion, of a kingdom. And he says, he will not permit the scepter. You remember in the book of King Ahasuerus, in the book of Esther, and the golden scepter, where if you appear before the king in the inner court where the king was, without him specifically calling for you, and he does not lift up his golden scepter, then there is only one punishment. They just take you and kill you. So there was the inner court where the king would sit, and then there would be an outer court where people are. Now he would call for people when he wants them. Now if anybody walked into the inner court, nobody would stop you. But you had better pray that when you get there, he lifts up the what? Because if he doesn't, they will just take you and kill you. Now that's what Esther told Mordecai, and said, he has not called for me these 30 days. But we are going to fast. And then she goes and puts on all her royal apparel, and I'm sure does a lot of makeup and looks so splendid after 3 days of fasting. Then just appears. And of course, nobody stops you. You want to enter, you enter. So he calls. So she just walks straight in without permission of the king. And then he holds up the golden scepter and says, what is it that you want, Queen Esther? Up to half of this kingdom shall be given to you. Now that's what fasting of 3 days can do. So I'm just saying that the scepter is a symbol of authority. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on a land, on the land which has been allocated or given to the righteous. Now the wicked want to rule over a certain land which is given to the righteous. And now the funny thing is, the people do not understand that when people choose to be wicked, they deliberately will not allow a church under them to prosper. Because that's how leadership is changed. You understand? When there is a church which changes under and becomes a true church of God, and the leader at the top is wicked, then the church uproots the leader. It's like it spits him out. Because the Lord will not let the scepter of wickedness rule over the righteous. Because he says, because the righteous might be tempted to actually do wickedness. So when he sees there are righteous people in a land or in a country, and the people in leadership are wicked, they sort themselves out. And it happens automatically. Now, of course, the people of the church do not understand why don't these people leave us do our things? Why don't they just do their things and for us we do our things? That's not how it works. Because if they let you do your things, then they will be spat out, and they know it. And they know that they have to reach down and make sure that the church is disorganized, that the church is split, and the church does not have the true authority of Jesus Christ. Because then the land ceases to be a land allocated to the righteous. Which of course is what is happening, and is going to happen in so much. And now, of course, this is not even just talking about politics, although it is, and all that. It's even talking about workplaces. Because if the scepter of the corrupt has dominion over the righteous, then the righteous people will also become corrupt, isn't it? So God says that I will not allow the scepter of the wicked, of wickedness. Or if people in a certain place are all given towards wickedness of a certain kind, then the Lord is not going to let, you know, like for instance, I was seeing, they invited me, this Abraham and, you know, some MP, to the Parliament Fellowship for born again people. Do you know how many people were all together? Like 4 people. And do you know how many MPs there were? 2. And when they try to gather together, they themselves, as members of parliament, they will, like the wicked people will come and try to disorganize, because once the members of parliament gather together, and what then suddenly, at the top, things start exploding. You understand? Because if there is righteousness burgeoning at the top, God will sort at the bottom, God sorts the top. Lest these people are. So now, as it is, the land is not allocated to righteousness. So the wicked can flourish. But when the righteous people come and start taking ground at the bottom, and now this is true for companies, for places, for even residential places and what, you can go and take up a land and make it a land allotted to righteousness. And then, by you putting your foot there, then the Lord will let certain people be in that neighborhood, because it has been allocated to righteousness. And now here is the thing. It doesn't even have to be a majority. Amen? Because we saw in the case of Sodom, that would you destroy a city if there are 10 righteous people? That was a big city with so many people. Abraham came down to 10. And God said, even for 10, I will still not destroy. But the 10 were not there. You understand? So 10 righteous people could have saved Sodom. But they are not there. So 10 members of parliament who are serious with the Lord can change that whole place if they knew it. But do they? So you reach there and you see you know every office, every, and you see now what happens after people have been surrounded by a place like that, where you're seeing everybody seems to be in authority, has some god somewhere and is involved in what, they even start believing in the inferiority of their god. You try to make them see that your god is, this is rubbish. But it's so difficult to make them see that. So now the person who invited me, they were taking away from a position, and I said, I can put you back and remove that guy who has taken you away. Then she looked at me. She honestly did not believe me. So it did not happen. But the truth is, like any witchcraft, by the way, any witchcraft, I don't even have to leave my cappuccino. Like, it is the easy, like, bring the biggest witchcraft. Like, witchcraft, do you understand? Like, we have grown past that. So anything concerning this one is what, this, you know, some Mugiswa MP is involved in which, that is a piece of, but the person whom you're dealing with has to believe that you can do it. Otherwise, then you can't. You understand? Because nobody can unless there is faith from the other side. And even faith, I don't mean too much faith, just a positivity. So I was trying to talk to her and tell her, no, I can sort this thing. I can sort this thing. I can do this. I can establish you in this office and nobody will remove you. And she said, yeah, anyway, but let's pray. So I said, okay, let's pray. Because she chose the religious kind of prayer. And so I went for that. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Amen. Then I went to have lunch. But if she actually had any kind of witchcraft. Like, I don't even have to wake up from my sleep. I'm being very honest with you. Like, even if it is the highest child sacrifice, what, anything. As long as the person comes and has a sense of belief that I can, it is the easiest thing. Now, try telling that to children of God. Now, that's why it says, the Lord will not allow when a land is allowed. Now, by the way, there are some countries, by, that even reminds me, Lydia, do you have the other man in Denmark? Do you have the video? Look for it while we are here talking to show you. Now, that's why wicked people strive to make sure that the righteous do not gather around them. Because the Lord is not going to let. Once there are a few people, it doesn't even have to be a quorum. God does not deal in quorums. 10 people can save Sodom, a city of tens of thousands. 10 people. And God says, just for the 10 people, I would not destroy it. And there is a reason why Abraham stopped at 10, by the way. Because I think there is a ratio in there. But God says, for 10 people, I would not destroy it. So now, in a place, just a few people come and set up. Real people in a company. And come and set up under there. And have your... And I know people who have done that. In banks and what. Come and set up and have a fellowship of serious people. Then you become serious about something. Then the Lord will not allow. The top of the leadership starts changing one by one by one by one. Because the Lord has said himself that he will not allow the dominion of wicked people to reign over righteous people. Because he doesn't want the righteous people to be tempted to go into iniquity. Because that's what everybody is doing. Praise the Lord. Now you see, for instance, you look at what? Even like, you look at all the people, most of the people involved in what? In the politics of this country. At the top. And tell me which one of them is not heavily involved in witchcraft. And I'm saying heavy. Even those who say, Tukutendereza Yesu, say, you know, we have to help the girl child. Deep witchcraft. Like, and that's the worst kind, the one which pretends. Eh? You prefer those which come what? Head on. So, but now, what is happening underneath is going to cause an explosion, obviously. This, the Lord was showing me this when I was in Nairobi, and he was saying me that it's just like the explosion is just imminent right now. So they try to disorganize, they try to do that, they try to do this and that, and they cannot find it. Have you found it, Lydia? Oh, you found it, eh? Okay, let's just watch this, and you see that there are certain lands, because in nations, there are nations where people choose that they do not want righteousness. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, there is a land which is allotted to the wicked, where they will chase anybody who comes with light. And we are talking about 6 government agencies coming for you because you're a Christian. And you see some people think, oh, that cannot happen, like, cannot happen. It can happen anywhere, unless the righteous stand up and do something about it. It is so easy for the wicked, because they understand the principle of dominion and of standing ground and of taking ground. It is so easy for them to come and slowly by slowly they start passing laws. They start passing laws. So they say, UCC, you cannot preach about the supernatural. radios that talk about the supernatural and about healings are banned and so on. And that is wickedness, because you know, from the top of the government is wickedness. Top wickedness. So, the devil would want to use them to impose that system on us. Now, if people do not understand that we have a responsibility to fight back, it comes slowly by slowly, one law after the other, after the other, some of which laws are not even being enforced yet. But when they start enforcing, the next thing you see, you know, imagine they investigate you for 6 things, they find nothing wrong. But they're not going to stop. So you have your Jesus Center, 80,000 square feet, which you bought, and you just take off and leave it there. Because that is a land allotted to what? To wickedness. But Uganda is a land allotted to righteousness. And the Lord will not permit the wicked to rule over us. Praise the Lord. And we are not even just talking politics. We are talking in every other area. The scripture says the Lord will not permit the scepter of the wicked to have dominion over the righteous. Because if it continued, how many people have you seen who were once born again and they enter that system? Then the next thing, they become the biggest persecutors of the church. Haven't you seen it? Because they are tempted to be at, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Elsewhere in another translation, the righteous are tempted to commit acts of iniquity. Because that is what surrounds them. Praise the Lord. Now we are in a time right now when dominion, and the reason why I'm talking about financial dominion and debt is because it's going to be the beginning place. Now you see these countries which hold themselves developed, okay, but which have chosen to be a land allotted to wickedness. I am telling you that give them a short time and you'll see between them and us who is developed. Now that might not sound as something very easy for people like yourself to believe, but the truth is, if you know what it is like there, in spite of the apparent order and, you know, nice buildings and all that, and you know the life we lead here, you know that it is not, it's a very distinct possibility. And now in the time of the end that we are talking about, these things flip in a matter of 1 year or two. Then suddenly, now how does it happen? Droughts, floods, because they own the cows. What does Denmark do apart from milk? Nothing. What do they have? Nothing. Nothing. I've been there. They have nothing. So, one flood sorts them. Because you have chased away the person who would have been the 10 people who preserve the nation. So you've chased them away. So God says, okay, there is no preserving factor. So now, you're on your own. You're like Sodom. Even the 10 people, God looks for 10 people and they're not there. He says, okay, you think you're developed. Now let me show you. Now, it's also in the book of, you know, and you see, nations choose these things. In the days of Israel, when Israel had chosen to go down the path of wickedness, and they were so determined to go down that path, now that's when that prophet Amos came up. And now Amos was, like every prophet, was a preserving factor. God would show him what was going to happen, and he prays, and it does not what? Happen. But then the people of Israel say, no, we do not want you. Let's read Amos chapter 7. It says, thus the Lord showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Now that's all it would take to destroy the whole kingdom. Just locusts at the beginning of the crop. And it comes and eats everything and that's destroyed. But the Lord shows it to, you know, and it's also, you know, Amos is the one who wrote and said, the Lord does nothing unless he does what? He reveals it to his servants, the prophet. He says that in chapter 3, verse 7. Now he says, behold, okay, sure, the Lord does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Now that also means there has to be a prophet whom he can reveal. If there is none, then, okay. Beginning of the, indeed it was a late crop after the king's mowings. Verse 2. And so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, O Lord, after he had seen the vision of it, he said, O Lord, forgive, I pray, all that Jacob may stand, for he is small. Okay? So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord showed me, behold, the Lord called for conflict by fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray, all that Jacob may stand, for he is small. Okay? So the Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord. Now you see, he's the one standing in the way of bad things which would have happened. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line. Okay, go to verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest, it always comes from the priest. It will never come from lay people. It will never come from Muslims. They are doing their own things. It will always come from a certain Pharisee, pastor, reverend, always, always. Now, Amos is preserving the land. And Israel is going down, down, down into a time when there will be no preservation whatsoever. But God is using him to preserve the land. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. In other words, we don't want any righteous word of God here. Leave us alone. Just go. And listen to what the priest is telling him. Verse 11. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Now, when a prophet declares something like that, and the Lord says that this is going to happen, for the most part, it can be reversed. He does not say it for any other reason apart from the fact that he thinks, if you do something, I can change it. You understand? Just like he showed Amos here, locusts, and Amos said, Lord, please don't. Then he says, okay, I will not. Then he showed him fire. He said, Lord, please don't. Then I will not. Even your dreams, you have a dream of something bad. It is just God telling you, you can reverse it. Okay? It is not given. You dream when somebody precious to you, your mother has died. She hasn't died. God is just saying, pray for her and she will not die. You understand? Eh? So, there is nothing comes from God without a purpose. And it is not final until somebody has hardened their heart and said, no, we do not want it. So, verse said, surely it shall be led away captive from their own land. Okay, verse. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread and there prophesy. But never again prophesy here in Israel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a royal residence. In other words, it is a land allotted to what? We have decided we want wickedness. Don't bring your prophecies here. Now, guess what happened soon after Amos left? He actually left and went to what? To Judah. And then Israel was attacked by the Assyrian Empire and destroyed completely, and they became slaves to the Assyrians. And it could all not have happened if this... Now, my point is this. There is this scenario of people choosing that our land is not going to be the land allotted to wickedness. Now, the difference between those allotted to wickedness and those allotted to righteousness in terms of standard of living, happiness, joy, and everything is going to become apparent in this end time. Because God has to distinguish his own from those who are against him. Amen? Now, I was seeing the other day and seeing, I would see earthquakes which would come and tumble down buildings and bury even cities. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, we are lucky in Uganda, we don't have that. He said, there is nothing to do with luck. There is a preserving factor. You understand? There are people who, by you standing there, God will not allow something like that to happen. And he cannot let it happen. Where there, you know, an earthquake buries a whole city while they are asleep. Man, that is like real tragedy. Real tragedy. But because some of those nations have given up their preserving factor, which is the church, and they have chosen specifically that for them they want wickedness. And God has says, okay, since you want wickedness, now there you are. Exactly the way it happened. So they tell all the people, this man with this Jesus center, go to America. Denmark is not able to bear your Jesus. And then they chase you away systematically. And you say, no, you know, democracy and what? You know, those countries have, there's no democracy there. Actually, there's more democracy here than there. At least us here, we select our LC1 leaders. It's only at the presidency where it ends. And even that will change soon. But at this year, I'm telling you, you go and have an opinion that is different from what they have all decided as a nation. And the direction they have taken. And you'll see how they'll come for you. And without any... I think I said, a man went and stood in the streets of London and started reading the book of John. Now, if you've been to those cities, people talk many things. People come and say anything they want to say. You probably even see them on YouTube. A man stands there and starts saying, you black people, you've been enslaved for too long. Rise up. Then black people sit around and start saying, yeah. And he's standing on the streets and nobody's going to touch him. He's giving a message concerning this or the other or the other. But you go and let the message be Christianity. So this man, in the midst of people standing and doing all that, people pass you. Some of them ignore you. Some of them stand and be there. You'll find some of them playing guitars. And, you know, some guy there, you know, doing reggae and people are putting money in his, you know. Like, there's freedom except when you cross into Christianity. So this man stands there and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. By the time he reached the sixth chapter, police had come for him. And then Jesus went, the police had come for him. Then do you know what they said? That he's upsetting Muslims. He's offending Muslims. So now people think, it is, by the way, man, it is so easy if people let wickedness seep into the society for everybody else to have rights except believers in Jesus Christ. Muslims have rights. Homosexuals have rights. Even pedophiles now have rights. Okay? But only believers in Jesus Christ don't have rights. And that is the land allotted to wickedness. Now we are waiting to see what God is going to do for us. Amen? Because he has said, for us, we have to end up on top. Lest the righteous people are tempted. So when the righteous are on top, even the wicked people are tempted to be righteous. So that's why the Lord says he will not permit it, that this rod of wickedness has dominion in a land which has been allocated righteousness. And that dominion has to, like, the money thing, debt and all that. Now, the reason the Lord has been impressing this on me so much since from the conference, November, what was it, second, the whole thing about debt, is because it is going to be the ground factor after which now you enter into a time of what? Of financial dominion. Because, you know, the world system does not like... Do you know they don't even accept debit cards? Now? They want credit. They want credit. Because everybody has to be in credit, in debt. Why? Because debt is a what? Is a currency. And it's not just a currency, it's a business. Debt is the biggest business in the world, officially. I'll give you an example. Uganda pays 10 trillion shillings every year as of the past budget in just financing interest. You understand? So of all the wage, whatever you collect, they will say, bring interest only. The principal remains. So they lend you money and you just keep on giving what? Interest. And now debt is the best business in the world because it's the only business where the customer is not king. The customer is slave. If you have a restaurant, somebody will come and complain and what, then you say, okay, sorry, we give you food for free. Because the customer is what? Ying. But in debt, there is no complaining. The customer is also what? Is a slave. So now imagine if Uganda being one of the least indebted countries. And that's a fact. The most indebted is actually the USA, which is the richest. But you imagine how much they pay. If we pay 10 trillion Uganda shillings, which is like how many billion dollars? Like three maybe. Like $3 billion in every year in interest. Imagine how much America pays. Probably hundreds of billions. So now imagine who they are paying. So that's why they will continue giving what? That's why they don't want anybody to be in using paying with money. No, you have to pay with debt. Because when you pay with money, you've taken something and there's no string attached. You understand? Now, if you go and buy a car, they say, no, we'll give it to you on credit. Now, credit means you'll end up paying for the car anyway. You understand? Eh? But you'll pay more. And then, while you have not yet finished paying, they actually own the car. Eh? And then, even when you're almost finishing paying, they will give you now a house also on what? So that they also own the what? That's the system of the Antichrist. And until you people, while our economy is still a cash economy, as it is now, everything you pay with cash, 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 we have to understand that do not allow yourself to get into debt. Now, the reason I asked you to come, because the Lord has told me now, those who are in debt, there is going to be a special grace to do what? To get you out of debt. Because that is what God is doing. Eh? That is what God is doing, and you're going to come out of it. Now, when you come out of it, do not go back into it. You understand? Otherwise, you're entering the Pharaoh trap where you seem to have a lifestyle, but nothing that you have is yours. But you see, if you go and pay for your car cash, it's your car. Now, the seller has no time, absolutely no what? No string attached. What you have is yours. And then nobody can take it away. And then it is from that place that you start to grow. Now, the people who are in debt are actually entering an antichrist system. And their eyes have been blocked. And the Lord revealed this to us for the purpose of unblocking people's eyes. Praise the Lord. Now, you enter in there and say, we are giving you this on credit. We are giving you this on credit. Now, do you know, because I went, I could not even use a debit card. You pull out a debit card, everybody frowns. But I have the money on the account. Just take it off. But they prefer I had a credit card and I was taking what? Credit. So now, what I decided, I would start another account, which I'll just use for credit card purposes. Eh? You understand? So that, okay, I have money here, but here, let me just not have money. So they give me a credit, what? Even the same bank, so that you say, okay, don't worry, even if I take credit of 100 million, it is on the other account. You can take it and get it. Eh? But since you people prefer credit, because you try going somewhere else and use a debit card, nobody is going to even, they'll look at you like, okay, it is an antichrist system, and it is so powerful that everybody has to be turned into a slave. Everybody, except you. Now that's why the scripture says in Revelation chapter 18, when Babylon the Great has fallen, in Revelation chapter 18, the scripture specifically speaks okay, we start from verse 17. Revelation 18, verse 17. It says, for in 1 hour, which is symbolic of means suddenly. Okay? Suddenly. Which means, you remember, Jesus said, go woman, your child is healed. Then he says, in that very hour. It doesn't mean in 60 minutes. It means in that moment. Okay? So, in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. every ship master and all who travel by ship said as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads. First of all, I have to make you understand that the city of Babylon that is going to be destroyed and the smoke is not actually a city like Kampala. It is just a system, a financial system that has been built by the system of this world. Then he said, they threw dust on their heads and cried out weeping and wailing and saying, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets and sons of prophets. For God has avenged you on what? You understand? Now, while they are waiting, because for you are not in it, for you will be what? It is meant to be for separation. For them, they put all their system there. You rejoice. When the system comes down, it is time for them to rejoice. Now, it is time for other people to be glad and say, now, the world, you understand? That means your debts are paid at a rate you cannot understand. And suddenly you wake up and your debts are what? Are gone. Like where it is a supernatural thing. Do not believe for a natural thing that I'm paying. They take this amount of my salary. So in a period of 6 years, I'm going to. We don't have 6 years to wait for you to come out of debt. Amen? God does not have 6 years to wait for you to come out of debt. Praise the Lord. It has to happen fast. The only thing that has to that might stand in the way of you is you actually committing your mind to the worldly system, like really alienating yourself from what I'm saying here. You know, the scripture says in the book of Ephesians that we are alienated in our minds. Alienated in our minds from this commonwealth of Israel. Now, the alienation, the separation is always in somebody's mind. Now, you tell somebody that God is doing this thing, this is the year of, you know what powerful things, and the person says, in their mind, just the first thought in their mind, that would be nice, but I don't think it would be true for me. But somehow you know it is going to happen for other people, but not for you. True? How many people alienate themselves in mind? So many, I know it. So people say, huh, this year people are going to get rich. And somehow they do not include themselves because they have not yet, like really lifted up their minds to say that I'm not disconnected from every word, from any word that is spoken from God. You understand? Eh? So then when you hear this supernatural debt clearance, you say, that is for me, not for my neighbor. Okay, it might be for them, but that's for them to decide. For you, you're responsible for who? For yourself. Say, that is for me. I am not going to wait 2 years for my debt to be cleared. It is going to be cleared supernaturally. That is what I believe God. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind. Now, yet he has now reconciled. So everybody is alienated first in their mind. So when I'm saying debt clearance, please, please, just believe that that is for you, regardless of how big the debt is. Just believe that is for me. Somebody say it's for me. Amen. Now, so then you pray and say to God, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Somebody say, bless me indeed. Now, bless me indeed does not mean just bless me. Amen? It means bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory. That your hand would be with me. And that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Praise the Lord. Oh, that God would bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory. And let his hand be upon me. And keep me from evil. So that evil does not have any dominion over me. And God answered that prayer. Praise the Lord. And God did what? You are the same God. Eh? Oh, that God would bless me indeed. That there is nobody who can say I have his money anywhere. Not a single person. And he enlarges my territory. Enlarges my sphere of influence. And that his hand is clearly upon me. And everybody can see the hand of God is upon me. And that he may deliver me from evil. From anything that is allotted to me, planned for me, plotted for me, that is evil. That none of it shall have any influence over me. And God answered his what? His prayer. This is what the Lord is telling me. You know? This is what the Lord was showing me the other day. That now, all this prayer is what? Be bold enough to say it's answered. Eh? Like indeed, bless me indeed. Indeed. Blessed indeed. Enlarge my territory. That his hand may be continually upon me. And that he would keep me away from evil. There is no evil that will come near me. Not that they will not try to bring it on me, but it will not come. They will try, but they will not succeed. And that I am out there. And that there is no pain. Evil cannot hurt me. Of course, here, that I may not cause pain is a bit of a twister of interpretation. King James, I think, has a better interpretation. It says, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. I think that's the better interpretation. Eh? That evil may not what? Grieve me. Now that is what it is here. But now you know. Now the Lord was also showing me that we actually are. You know, one of the stories of the Bible which are said over and over again, and they never change. Because they are true for almost every moment of a believer's life. Like the entering the promised land. Israel entering the promised land. Now, you know, the church has to understand that actually, as a church, we are really on the verge, on the brink now of entering a land of dominion and of promise, which God has promised for so many years. You've heard me say how the church being on top is do you know that scripture which was given at Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3, the mountain of the Lord's house? Do you know it's repeated exactly the same scripture? And shall come to pass, and the people shall come, okay, verse 2. Exactly the same scripture is repeated elsewhere. Almost exact same words. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Verse 3. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and he shall walk, and we shall walk in his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now go to Micah chapter 4 verse 1. Micah chapter 4 verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of all the mountains, and shall be established above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For the out of Zion the law shall go forth. The exact same words. Eh? Why are they repeated twice? Because that is a major, major prophecy for our time. The exact same phrase spoken by prophets who lived in two different generations. Micah lived almost, Isaiah was about 600 years before. Micah was probably about 200 or 300. Okay, at least there is a difference of 200 years between those prophets. But Micah, in modern language, they would say he plagiarized. But no, the Spirit of God gave it to him again, because in the exact same words, because it is a major prophecy of the church being at the top of everything in the time of the end. And now we are in the brink of what? of that period. Now we shall not be like the children of Israel, the slave generation, which is frankly what the church has mostly been. Complainers, people who quarrel, grumblers, who despise authority. Now that's a sign of a church which is of people who are going to die in the wilderness. Okay? Number one, they despise authority. Somebody stands up and says, tells Moses that, you know, are you going to take us, take out all our eyes? Are you the only one who God speaks to? I mean, really, you deceived us. You told us you're taking us to a land flowing with what? Yet they actually were on the brink, and he told them to go, and they rebelled against him. Now, when you read in the book of Joshua, the first chapters, the first thing they tell Joshua is that now the new generation, after the old generation had died, the new generation come up and tell Joshua, whatever you tell us to do, we shall do. Now that is a sign of something that has... Joshua chapter 1 verse 16. It says, so they answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Now here is a generation of people who are going to enter the promised land. They first of all understand authority. Now Moses spent all his time fighting uprisings in his thing. People were uprising. There was not a single uprising in the days of Joshua. There was a man who went, not one uprising of people questioning Joshua's authority. And yet, was Joshua greater than Moses in terms of what? No, he actually wasn't, because he received of the spirit of Moses. So, but this new generation understood they are not complainers. They were men of war. They don't grumble. They appreciate that God has put somebody over them. And then the Lord says, this day I am going to start glorifying Joshua. Telling Joshua, I'm going to glorify you among the children of Israel. Now you see, those are the things which annoy people. The idea that God lifts up somebody above other people so that he might show the other people that I am with that person, listen to him. Because that's how movements are done, isn't it? That's how armies are set up. That's how everything is. Somebody has a higher rank and everybody listens to them because of their rank. So God tells Joshua in chapter 3, I think, this day I am going to what? Exalt you. I think it's chapter 3 verse 8. Praise the Lord. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. I will exalt you so that all of them might see that you are a special person. I have chosen you. You are the man. Now, when God exalted him, how did he exalt him? By splitting the Jordan River. But the old generation, the slave generation, they saw Moses split the Red Sea. It's easier to split a river than a sea, isn't it? But they did not listen to him. They refused. They spent all their time fighting him. Now, those are the... Now, do you want to see the church which is going to end on the brink of the promised land and die in the wilderness? Those people who do not appreciate authority, who think that because we are all washed in the blood of Jesus, we are all believers at the same level. No, 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 no. Believers have the same rights, but not the same authority. And now, you see, you just refuse that because, but even in the world, that's how it is. As a citizen of the country, you have the same rights as the president, isn't it? Yeah, but you don't have the same authority and you know it. So if his motorcade is coming, you have to run into the bush somewhere. And that's the way it is. But still, when it comes to the kingdom of God, people want it to be different. Now, if we are going to be of those who enter the kingdom, of those who enter the promised land, and who see that period that the Lord was speaking about, where the church is really at the top of everything, everything, where everyone who has a problem has to run to the church. And now we are at that brink, that very brink. Moses says here in Deuteronomy, and I'm about to finish. He says in the book of Deuteronomy at the beginning, where he gives them a whole litany of where they have gone wrong. Basically, he gives a monologue of the story of redemption. And he says, he reminded them, first of all, in chapter 1, verse 2. It it reminds them, it is 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Sire to Kadesh Barnea. Okay, let's get it in the Amplified for you to understand what was Horeb and what is, because it might sound horrible. It is only 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Sire to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border. And yet Israel took 40 years to get beyond it. In other words, from when they crossed the Red Sea and they got to Mount Sinai, 50 days, they only had 11 days to get to the promised land. 11 days. But it took them 40 years and all of them died because of the same things: complaining, grumbling, ungratefulness for what God has already done, refusing to obey commands, refusing to accept authority, the same things. And God puts these things here for a reason. Okay? Now, he reminds them that, imagine this journey. So Joshua is telling them, this journey was supposed to take us 50 days up to Horeb from the Red Sea, from when they crossed the Red Sea up to Horeb, which is Sinai, really, Mount Sinai. It's supposed to be 50 days. Then from there, it was supposed to be 11 days to the promised land. 11 days. So it was supposed to take us all together from Egypt to the promised land, 61 days, 2 months. But it took us 40 years. Now, that is a characteristic of a church which has been, and the truth is, I have been through that church, I've been through it. I've told you I've been saved 27 years. So I know there has been a church there which people will never accept authority. They are always questioning everything. They are always grumbling. There is no sense of appreciation whatsoever for what God has done. They think they will put God in a place where he has to do so many other things before he impresses them. Who told you God is there sitting trying to impress you? The thing is, there has to be a point when people mature. And then now when you get to that mindset, and then you know that, can I see myself the way God sees me? Now here is where the whole thing fell apart. The children of Israel could never see themselves the way God was seeing them. Because he told them, now go into the promised land. Go and take it. I've given it to you. Those people, they are already trembling because of you, Biwa. But they were like, they still had the slave mentality, which is still in some believers, and I know that for a fact. Of where you say now you're supposed to take up this business, this car, anything, and somebody looks at you and says, okay, but if I can just have enough to, pay my rent and what, I'll be okay. And I remember some years ago, when the Lord was showing me all these powerful people, rich people, and showing me, showing me this whole dominion thing. Then I went and told him. It's one of, I think, 3 times when I remember the Lord has rebuked me loudly. Actually, that time he even used the word shut up. Now, I told him, I was saying, yeah, but why would I need all that, if I have enough to... Now, I didn't know that's a religious mindset. That, if you have too much wealth, why do you need that? If you have just enough to what? So I told him, but Lord, all that, won't it? If I just have enough, then he told me, shut up. It's not about you. Because if you don't have it, a wicked person is going to have it. And you will lead people to wickedness. Because the wealth is going to be here. It's not going to heaven. So somebody is going to have it. Either you or a wicked person. So every time you say for me, I just want enough to survive, you are actually Antichrist. Because it's going to be in the hands of witchcraft people who are sacrificing their children. So the Lord told me that time, shut up. It's not about you. This is about the kingdom. The kingdom has to have what? Wealth. And God is not going to send Jesus Christ here to get wealth. It has to be in the hands of you. You understand? So it is not about... Now when somebody starts thinking that survival thing, then that's... And now that time what was disturbing me was religious mindset, I'm just going to be here praying. If I can have food to eat after I've finished fasting, and I can have some cappuccino, and I can comfortably pay this, I'll be okay. And they're like, shut up. Almost in that tone, shut up. Shut up. It is not about you. That is selfish thinking. That survival mindset. Selfish thinking. Because you know why? The kingdom has to expand through dominion and wealth. There is no dominion without wealth. You know, some rich man was telling me, you know, sometimes people get greedy for nothing because, you see, you can only, no matter how much money you leave, you can only sleep in one bed. You can only eat 3 meals a day. You can only, and man, that is poverty coming from a rich man. Do you know rich men are the ones who mostly transmit poverty? Because they want people to stay poor. And yet for him, I know him is very rich. And all of you know him if I spoke him. At least you know the things he owns in this city. But he's telling me, you see now, you're there drinking coffee. I was drinking a huge mug of latte. He says, now, can you drink 5 cups of coffee? I said, no, one is enough. He says, so people struggle for nothing. So why are you fighting to get rich if you can only drink one latte? And for him, is even these health people, he only eats vegetables. So he comes, eats steams vegetables, then takes herbal tea. That is like fearing cancer. He once had a cancer scare. So now he has to eat what? Eat healthy. But he's busy accumulating wealth because it's dominion. But they are trying to sell me katwa that what? That since I can only take 1 cup of cappuccino and I can afford it as it is, why should you struggle? You can only sleep on one bed. You can what? You know? Will you eat 10 meals a day? Will you? The Lord told me, shut up. Shut up. You're talking rubbish. Like, you know where he says it and you just understand you're talking absolute rubbish? Like you're almost Antichrist. So now, we have a responsibility to the kingdom of God to be in dominion. Say amen. Amen. And we have a responsibility to first come out of debt. Say amen. Amen. And we have a responsibility to believe God that in any place we are, we arrange ourselves and form a godly quorum. You know, one shall put 1,000 flight. And two will put, what? Two will put how many? So we have a responsibility, even in our company. When people understand the thing of authority, somebody was telling me a story of some chick who worked, I hope you're not offended by that language, but, some lady who worked, but even if you're offended, it doesn't matter. I have the anointing to offend. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that lady, now these guys were these believers of, you know, Yatukutendereza, what? Sit in the prayer requests, brethren, let us pray. Pray for so and so. He's going through a tough time, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you cover him. We pray for Jani mercies. You pray for what? You know those things, that kind of Christianity. Then this lady came, who now understood different dominion Christianity. Now for her, she messed, because the company is owned, if I said it, you know it, it's owned by top, which these rich guys who are all deep in witchcraft. She subdued them. They could not fire her. They would tremble when she comes, like her bosses. Then they would say, that girl. Then she would say, no, they cannot fire me. I will go when I want. Do you know, like, the guy told me that's when he started trying to seek out what? Authoritative Christianity. Because he realized that kind of Christianity of, you know, Father, we thank you. We thank you because we are alive. Okay, we thank him because we are alive. But I mean, really. Our Uganda neighbors are coming across and demolam. We can't. Now, people are talking dominion, you're talking that rubbish. Now, you know, I remember one time some guy came and gave a testimony. That's when I realized that, man, the church has fallen badly. Guy came and said, never za mukama, kumange nakuzino tulia ne mere ne tuiwa.
tuliwa nemmere. That's when I said, I think I have to. There's something not right here. Imagine, like how low can you reduce yourself? Like, that's the thing you're thanking God for. Like, people are thanking God, they are taking over companies, and you're saying you're pouring food. Then I said, there's something that is not right here. Then some gentleman I know, who is a famous musician, but a born again chap, I told him, why did you leave some church where he was? He told me that there was no fellowship. He said it does not meet the qualifications of fellowship. Because you go there and you're talking with people, for you, you're thinking about big things. And the people who you're talking to, all of them are at survival, survival, survival. So it's now you think you'll pull them up? No, they will pull you down. They will pull you down. The scripture says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts what? Good habits. Now, it does not say good company sanctifies bad habits. No. Somehow the bad ones are the ones who seem to what? So small-minded people will bring you to their level. You understand? Eh? You think that, I will go to this church, then I will lift them up. No, they will pull you down. So the guy left, he said, I left, they have nothing wrong. Because even the pastor comes and is speaking things of survival. Survival, survival, survival. So now after being in places like those, then you start telling God, for me if I can survive. Then he says, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. He even says in an accent. So I thought he's supposed to speak to me in the Runyoro accent so that I can one click. But on gender, I'm joking. But basically, he told me, shut up. It's not about you. And God selects you to lift you up, not because of you. Okay? It is because of the kingdom. That's why you have to be up there. Praise the Lord. Now, as I finish, there's just one verse I wanted to read. Then I finish. Then we go for Christmas. Verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good what? Habits. It does not say good company sanctifies bad habits. Yeah, you know that. So, in other words, okay, I will not say that. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea. Just hold on a bit. Okay. So we departed, verse 20, it says, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites. That is the beginning. There were seven countries, seven nations that they destroyed. Jebusites, Amorites, Perizzites, Parasites, you know. And I said to you, you have come, there were no Parasites, that's a joke. So I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Now here is the beginning of the promised land. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us, and let them search out the land for us, and bring back a word to us of the way by which we should go up, and of the cities in which we should come. Okay? And the plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one of each tribe. Okay? And they departed and went up into the mountains, and they came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought us back word, saying, it is good. It's a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Now here is the thing. And you complained in your tents, and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Now, you see some of these stories
which you read here, they are so true of what is happening, what happens in our lives. And I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking even individually, where God tells you now, go and take this thing over. Move into this place. Okay? It can even be something as simple as move house. You've stayed in this slum long enough. Go and stay in a better place. Now go there. Now he has given you a word. You know it is a word of God. But then you rebel. Now people say, I'm scared, I'm what? But God says it's rebellion. Because when he has given you a word, and you do not do it, or you do it as if he's, like there is a case of him pleasing himself. He says it's what? It's rebellion. And I remember a story from a book I read of. Now, this thing taught me a lot. That's how God really hates it when he says the word and somebody like tries to contradict it. I have said I'm God. I have said it. That is it. There is nobody else that can change it. And you see how it is so important to him. So now, this Ken Sagan, he prays for people. In all those days, they used to do lines, healing lines. If you're sick, come in the line. So he comes. He says, some sicknesses are caused by demons. Some sicknesses are what you'd call, okay, altogether sicknesses are caused by demons, but others are a bit of biological nature. So he says, if you lay your hands on somebody and you don't feel anything, that's like what you would call biological. So pray for it and rebuke it and it will go. But if you feel something move from one hand to the rest, know that one is demonic. So cast out the demon and the person will be healed. So he says, okay. Now, a guy comes to him. So he prays for that. Then now he lays his hand on one of them and he feels that thing. So he says, so he casts out the demon, the spirit of infirmity, and says, and you know, then waits. Then he does it again. Then waits. Then he said, suddenly he saw Jesus standing next to him looking very angry. Then he told him, Lord, you told me that I cast it out and the person will be healed. But I did and the person wasn't healed. Then Jesus told him, I said he would be healed. And then he disappeared. You know, very angry. I told you he would be healed. So he understood what Jesus was saying. So now he cast it out and said, go, you're healed. And then when the guy went and sat down, the healing manifested there. Now what the Lord was telling you, I told you, don't wait to see it. I said it is that. So do not wait to see. When Jesus has said it, it is it. You understand, eh? So, the message was, I told you you'd be healed. And then he vanished. Then he said, oh, okay, I get it. So now, after that, when he would cast it out, as the Lord said, he would tell the person, you're healed, go and sit down. Even when the person still has all the symptoms of the sickness, he would say, you're healed. Because Jesus said, when I do this, you'd be healed. So you're healed. Settled. There is no other word. That's it. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, when God invites you to this promised land of dominion, there is a word that cannot be altered by anybody. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. For a word which has been issued, spoken out in the spirit, to be changed, it can only be changed by somebody who is of a higher spiritual level. Do you understand that? That's why the Bible will tell you very well what the devil is going to do. Then he's going to do this. And then the devil will do that. Sometimes they would continue, like just say, since the prophet says, let me do this. He can't, because the word has been issued. He would have to be of a higher authority than the person who issued the word for him to go any other way. He cannot. He walks straight into it. And he cannot alter it. I'll give you another example. So I was wondering, you know, you can wonder. Now, a man does a cabinet reshuffle and puts a policewoman and walks into somebody's ward. So you say, couldn't he like just try it? He cannot. Unless he's of a higher spiritual what? He will do exactly what the word said he will do. And somehow you wonder, couldn't he at least like say, I want to, but no, I'm not. No, he can't. Once the word has been issued and spoken in the spirit, it cannot be altered by anybody unless that person is of a higher spiritual authority than the person who spoke it. You understand? So that's why God, if anything would irritate him, is he speaks a word and you start telling him, but I am God. I have said. Now, who do you think can change it? Is anybody able to, you know? That's why he says, I declare the end from the beginning. Because nobody can change it. I will tell you, this is how the world is going to end, and nobody can change it. It can never change because there is no higher authority. Okay? Now, so when the word is issued in your life by the Lord, and you arm yourself with that word, you know that unless an authority shows up that is bigger than God, you're sorted. Praise the Lord. So when I tell you, your debts are supernaturally cancelled by the Spirit of God, just know that it is done. Praise the Lord. It is what? It is done. And no, I am not talking about naturally cancelled. I'm not talking about, I'm saying something which happens and you just say this is God, where you know that there is no way I could have done this if it wasn't what? God. Where it has the signature of God on it. God. And you know God does it in a way where you know yourself. You understand? Eh? That there is no way this can be any other person apart from God. Praise the Lord. And then after that, you understand that after one such instance, everything thereon, you just know that God said this, it is true for me. Praise the Lord. He is going to bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And his hand will continually be upon me. And he will keep me from any kind of somebody who is plotting my downfall and all that. And it shall not affect me. Praise the Lord. And that is going to be my story throughout next year. Bless me indeed. Amen? Bless me what? Yes, complete. Like where it is unquestionable. Some, and every one of you has something where God put his signature on it. And you know this one was God. Praise the Lord. But you see, sometimes people get it and they don't build on that. There was a lady who came to me. She's in ministry. So she told me, let me end with this story, since she told me that if I want to, I might give another story. But she told me that she was having issues with rent. They had given her up to Monday to pay rent or exit the house. So the guy told her that Monday by 9 p.m. I'm coming. If you don't have the rent, I think she was in arrears like 3 months, just what? Quit. So she came to me and said, now what am I going to do? And I told her that, okay, you know, this is hard advice, but it's the only advice I can give. So I told her that just trust God. She said, but now I said, trust God. Trust God. So I think she decided, let me trust God. Now, you know, I remember when I read the scripture that nobody trusted in God and was ashamed. So I said that, God, I am not going to be the first. Your word says no one ever trusted in you and was what? Was put to shame. So I will not be the first. So what happened is, Monday came, right? Now, like a month ago, she had bought certain, somebody had sent her padlocks, these specialized padlocks, which apparently are very difficult to, you know, to break into and so on. So she was trying to sell it to some friends of hers, and they refused. I'm selling padlocks. Hey, okay, yeah, we shall see. Then what happened is one of her friends whom she had tried to sell the padlocks, the previous night they broke into her house. So she called the lady. Man, you had these padlocks. Do you still have them? By the way, it's a true story. Eh? Somebody whom said, yes, I have them. Said, where are you? How much are they? Said, I'm at home. I'm here. What? I said, tell me where you are. I'm coming. So there was a traffic jam. It was evening. So guess what time the chick came? 9 p.m. And the money she gave her was exactly the amount the landlord wanted. And the landlord came soon after. And she handed him the money. Now really, after you've seen something like that, can you ever doubt? Like that, God has put his signature on it. Like there is no way you can doubt it. But you know what? After some time she came and said, man, now rent again. I said, now don't disturb me.
Because God has put a signature on something where you know this is God, this is God. Now then I know another one, a friend of mine, the same thing. Also him rent 3 months, what? He came to me, also with the same advice. Said that what? Trust God. Trust God. Now for him, of course he's a much spiritually mature and what, so he said, okay, I'll trust God. So the landlord tells him, by this day, what? I want my money all bust. So he sits there. Now, on the day, a certain lady calls him from Sweden, I think. Sweden or somewhere. One of those countries. And tells him, are you so and so? That yes. Anyway, now I wanted to send money to a certain man of God. But now I want to send it by mobile money. And you know, like I don't know his... But anyway, I felt the Lord telling me, since you also minister with him, I can send it to you. So he said, hey, okay. Said, now, I'm sending it now. Now, that was like the very day, almost 30 minutes before the landlord had given him a deadline. Anyhow, now imagine that. It's like there are pictures here of watchman. Then let's say, Akena here has what? Rent problems. Then someone says, I wanted to send money to the watchman. But anyway, let me send to you. And you really don't see that is God. That I saw your face on the on the pictures. And I said, who is that man? That's Akena. I think I'll give him my money. Really. Now, this one, unlike the other one, this one, after that, he never had a single problem with rent again ever. Because he took that and said, now rent will never be an issue. God has showed me that this is his responsibility. Praise the Lord. Actually, do you know how much rent he was in arrears of? 750,000, 3 months. You're staying in a house of 250K. The minute he paid that money, the woman sent him 1 million. The minute he paid that money, in a few weeks he had moved to a house of 1 million. But he knew the principle that now I don't have to care about that. Yeah? There is somebody who has made it his responsibility to take care of my what? And that was the last time there was ever any rent issue whatsoever. I'm sure now he's probably in a much more expensive than that. And he just went from glory to glory to glory on one testimony. Praise the Lord. How many of you are learning something here today? Now, you don't need two testimonies. You need one where God has done it in a spectacular way where you know there is no way this can have happened. If it was somebody whom you know, your uncle, your friend, you'd say maybe. But on the day when they have given you last warning, then that's when somebody, they break into our house, then she had refused to buy your padlocks, then she buys your padlocks. I don't know whether God sent them, but anyway. Now you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now may everybody here who has connected today experience of the financial outpouring that brings financial freedom in every way possible. In the name of Jesus. May the 2020 be the year where you experience financial freedom unlike any other year. All the strains, the stretches, the pressure, the tension of the previous year shall be no more in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because you step into a time where finances shall flow quickly and easily in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say freedom.
Freedom.
Financially.
Freedom from debt.
Freedom from debt.
Freedom from financial strain.
Freedom from financial strain. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Say
Jesus.
Abundance.
Abundance.
Say supernatural connections.
Supernatural connections.
That are of an international nature.
That
open me up. And
enlarge my territory.
In the name of Jesus. Say enlarge my territory.
Enlarge my territory.
That it is international.
That it is regional.
And it is continental and it's international. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rika mazanta rebe shuko krozo toro zile mashe karazile mazonto roshara. Salne mi krozanta rasilo boshare mazinta rebe shokro mazonto. Rika mazanti le shiro mazanta rebe shokro mazonto roshare mazita. Roko kro mazonto. Where you said your things at an international level and they are received. And you are received.
In the name of Jesus. 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 Amen. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.